Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms. I'm Sophia, and I'm your reader this morning. Today is Tuesday, the 19th of February, which is the 14th of Adar Aleph, which is Purim Katan. Purim Katan is a minor Purim celebration during Adar Aleph on leap years, which, of course, this year is a leap year. This week's parasha is called Ki Tisa, which means when you count. And today's Aliyah from the Torah is Exodus 33, 12 through 16. Before we start the reading, we're going to bless the Lord and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. So Moshe said to the Lord, "You say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you've said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my eyes. Now then, I pray, if I have found grace in your eyes, show me your ways, so that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider also that this nation is your people. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest," he answered. But then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with me, don't let us go up from here. For how would it be known that I or your people have found favor in your sight? Isn't it because you go with us that distinguishes us from all the people on the face of the earth?" That was Exodus 33, 12 through 16. Our next portion is from the prophets, and it is 2 Kings chapter 8. Now Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go with your household, and stay wherever you can stay, because the Lord has called for a famine. Indeed, it has already come on the land for 7 years." So the woman arose and did according to the word of the man of God. She and her household went and stayed in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. Now at the end of 7 years, the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to the king to appeal for her house and her farm. Now the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. "Please tell me," he was saying, "all the great things that Elisha has done." Then it came to pass, just as he was telling the king how he had revived someone who was dead, behold, there was the woman whose son he had revived, appealing to the king for her house and her farm. So Gehazi said, "My lord the king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha revived." When the king asked the woman, she told him the story. So the king assigned to her a court official, saying, "Restore all that was hers, and all the revenue of the field since the day that she left the land until now." Then Elisha went to Damascus. At that time, King Ben-Hadad of Aram was sick. And he was told, "The man of God has come all the way here." So the king said to Hazael, "Take an offering in your hand and go meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, 'Will I recover from this illness?'" So Hazael went to meet him and took an offering in his hand of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camel loads. Then came and stood before him and said, "Your son Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, has sent me to you, saying, 'Will I recover from this illness?'" Elisha said to him, "Go, say to him, 'You will surely recover.' However, the Lord has also shown me that he will surely die." Then he fixed his gaze steadily on him until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. When Hazael asked, "Why is my Lord weeping?" he answered, "Because I know the evil that you will inflict on the men of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire, their young men you will slay with the sword, their little ones you will dash into pieces, and their pregnant ones you will rip open." Then Hazael said, "But what is your servant, who is but a dog, that he should do anything of such magnitude?" Elisha answered, "The Lord has shown me that you will be king over Aram." Then he departed from Elisha and went to his master, who asked him, "What did Elisha say to you?" He answered, "He told me that you would surely recover." But the next day he took a thick cloth, soaked it in water, and spread it on his face so that he died. Then Hazael became king in his place. Now in the 5th year of Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat had been king of Judah. Joram, the son of King Jehoshaphat of Judah, became king. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab did. For Ahab's daughter was his wife, and he did what was evil in the Lord's eyes. Nevertheless, the Lord was not willing to destroy Judah for the sake of David his servant, since he had promised to give him a lamp for his children all days. In his days, Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah and set up their own king. Then Joram crossed over to Zair with all his chariots. It came about that he rose by night and struck the Edomites who had surrounded him and the chariot commanders, but his troops fled to their tents. So Edom kept rebelling from under the hand of Judah to this day. Then Libna also revolted at the same time. Now the rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Then Joram slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then his son Ahaziah became king in his place. In the 12th year of Joram, son of King Ahab of Israel, Ahaziah, son of King Jehoram of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of King Omri of Israel. Now he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did what was evil in the Lord's eyes, as the house of Ahab had done, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. He marched with Joram, son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Aram, at Ramoth Gilead, but the Arameans wounded Joram. So King Joram returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds that the Arameans had inflicted on him at Ramah. When he fought against King Hazael of Aram, Ahaziah, son of King Joram of Judah, went down to see Joram, son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. That was 2 Kings chapter 8. Our next portion is from the Psalms, and it is Psalm 119, verse 73 through 96. Your hands have made me and formed me. Give me understanding, that I may learn your mitzvot. Those in awe of you see me and rejoice, because I put my hope in your word. I know, Lord, your judgments are just. In faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your loving kindness comfort me, according to your promise to your servant. Let your tender mercies reach me. Let me live, for your Torah is my delight. May the proud be put to shame for wronging me with a lie. But I will meditate on your precepts. Let those in awe of you return to me, those who know your testimonies. My heart will have integrity in following your decrees, so that I would not be ashamed. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I still hope in your word. My eyes are worn out longing for your promise, saying, "When will you comfort me?" Though I became like a wineskin dried in smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on my persecutors? The proud have dug pits for me. That is not in accord with your Torah. All your mitzvot are faithful. They persecute me with a lie. Help me. They almost finished me off on earth, but I will not forsake your precepts. Revive me with your loving kindness, so I may keep your mouth's testimony. Forever, Lord, your word stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures from generation to generation. You established the earth and it stands. Your judgments stand today, for all things are your servants. If your Torah had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for with them you have kept me alive. I am yours, save me, for I have sought out your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will study your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, yet your commandment is boundless. That was Psalm 119, verses 73 through 96, which brings us to our last portion for today, which is from the Apostles, and it is John 9, verses 1 through 23. As Yeshua was passing by, he saw a man who had been blind since birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" Yeshua answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. This happened so that the works of God might be brought to light in him. We must do the work of the one who sent me, as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud on the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away, washed, and came back seeing. Therefore his neighbors and those who had seen him as a beggar kept saying, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" "This is the one," some said. "No, but it looks like him," said others. But the man himself kept saying, "I am." So they asked him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Yeshua made mud, rubbed it on my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and then I received my sight." "Where is he?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They bring to the Pharisees the man who once was blind. Now the day was Shabbat when Yeshua made the mud and opened the man's eyes. So again the Pharisees were asking him how he received his sight. He responded, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees began saying, "This man isn't from God, because he doesn't keep Shabbat." But others were saying, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So there was a split among them. Again they say to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He's a prophet." So the Judean leaders didn't believe that he'd been blind and received his sight until they called his parents. They questioned him, "Is this your son, whom you say was born blind? Then how does he see now?" Then his parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We don't know how he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's old enough. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Judean leaders. For the Judean leaders had already agreed that anyone who professed Yeshua to be Messiah would be thrown out of the synagogue. That's why his parents said, "He's old enough. Ask him." That was John 9, verses 1 through 23, which concludes the reading of Daily Bread for Busy Moms today. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.